You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Hey, you're listening to Perspectives Live, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight's show, we have a great show for you tonight. We're discussing the importance of dedication and determination and how possessing internal personal belief is paramount to your fruitful life, a happy soul, and a personal success. You know, later on tonight, I'm going to let you in on a few secret techniques and life strategies for creating lasting belief and to be aware and how to be aware of when you're actually creating roadblocks for yourself. We have a great show for you tonight. We got a lot going on because we're going to share some great secrets and tips that you won't hear really anywhere else. So earlier, I was actually thinking about what dedication is. I was thinking, what makes a person dedicated? What does dedication mean? And to me, dedication, not the Webster's version of dedication, but my version of dedication is when you're fully engaged in what you're doing. Like, full engagement means nothing comes before your fulfillment of your responsibilities or your requirements that you have. And no matter what's going on around you, no matter if it's a friend coming by, has a party, or some people are bringing a keg by, or whatever it might be, you're going to take care of these responsibilities first, right? And you're dedicated to whatever you are that you're doing, whatever you're pursuing. And before dedication really enters your life, and I've been there before when I was a lot younger, and I wasn't dedicated to really anything, honestly. I was dedicated to the next party. I was dedicated to who was having a party, what's going on, am I going to the lake, am I not going to the lake, what's happening? And you end up going to like parties and stuff that doesn't even matter to you, things that it's not even that important, just to get in the way of what you're doing. You know, it's funny, you can find anybody's party. Your friend's cousin could be in having a party. You don't even know your friend's cousin. You've never even met your friend's cousin one time. I mean, they're nobody to you. You have no idea, but you're not going to miss that party. You're not going to miss that party for the world. That party's going to be awesome. It's going to rock. Hey, what's going on, Billy Boy? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Felt a little bit under the weather earlier today, but I'm starting to feel better.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Of course, you know, pain medication will take care of that. Headache medicine.
We'll have to get him some more pain medication. Wink, wink. Let's do that. What's up? What's up, skinny, skinny? Big skinny?
Hello, sweetheart.
How you doing? What's going on tonight? You having a good night?
I'm feeling like $1 million.
All right.
Ooh, that's nice. $1 million is good. $5, not so good.
Right.
Dano, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel like $2.50.
I knew that was
cha-ching,
coming.
Cha-ching.
I knew he was going to say that.
Well, there you go. You know, at least it's not like in the hand of a sweaty cab driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be worse, right? Could be worse. You know, but you know, y'all have all been there. I've been there. You know, when I think all our listeners have been there before, where the party comes first. Those times when, you know, you feel like you're working for the man or you're not doing what you want to do and all this stuff's happening and you say, you know, to heck with all this. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go do this. And a lot of times, you know, we might need to be making a paycheck. We might need to be doing what we need to do to get somewhere from A to B to create some sort of foundation. But however, I feel that a lot of times we're just not going to our true purpose. We're doing whatever anybody thinks we should do. We're doing what our parents told us to do. Or we're doing what we think is right in society instead of really following our own goals. And I think sometimes when you're able to divert from that path and make your own choices, it's kind of good because you're able to actually realize, okay, what is it that I really want? And I think when you fall into your purpose, or you fall up to your purpose, maybe that might be better, you fall up to your purpose, you figure out, okay, this is what I love to do in life, and this is what I think I'm good at. And it's that one thing that you try not to question. It's that one thing that you don't want to question because you have such belief, but it's also that other thing that you question a lot because it means so much to you. So it's like a double-edged sword, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems kind of paramount to me.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, I think you have to be, you know, kind of careful and, you know, make it a positive in your life, because I've seen people that, you know, their determination or whatever can kind of eat at them.
You know? In what way? What do you think?
Well, I mean, like it consumes their life to the detriment of family, friends, having a well-balanced life.
No, I see what you're saying.
See what I mean? You know?
I do think that there's not a very good balance a lot of times. When you have like this pursuit and you want it so bad, the balance might not always be there because it can't be. I mean, because, like, I mean, a lot of times we put everybody first, you know, and that's great because I believe in family and I believe in children and I believe in God and I believe in all this that's sacred and holy. But at the same time, it seems that you have to sit there and say, okay, I got to take a little more time doing this. I got to work a little harder at this, or I might be taking later nights doing this, but it's all for this end result. And you hope and pray that that result happens. You hope that something gets to that. Because I think that's a lot of times where we all question ourselves is all this for anything? Is this all for something or is this all for nothing?
Yeah. But on the other hand, if you don't have any determination at all, well, then, you know, you're not going to accomplish any goals in life. So, yeah.
Well, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. You got to make those sacrifices.
That's so true.
So what you're saying is you want to sacrifice your family for your career?
No, you've got to have an equal...
A balance.
A good equal balance between your family, but you've got to still have that drive just to know that, you know, if you push harder, you will achieve it.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, when we say balance, Dan, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a 50-50.
It could be
balance.
A 30-70. I mean, you know, you could be like, I'm 70% doing this. And, you know, if the family actually cares enough and they actually believe in you and you actually have said, hey, even if you have to sell them on it, even if they say, hey, I'm really doing this and I believe in this and this is important to me, and I would hope and pray that my love and my passion is as important to you as it is to me. And I know it might not be because it's not yours, but I am your spouse or I am whatever. And I would hope that that's the case. And can you understand that for a few years, I'm going to do everything I can to be there for you. I'm going to do everything I can to be there for the kids or whatever. But at the same point in time, I sometimes got to put myself first on this deal. And I hope that you understand. You know, and I think that that happens a lot of times in life because I think sometimes people put themselves through school or work or whatever. I mean.
When I put myself, because I went to school, you know, and I really didn't have a whole lot of support whenever I decided to get into radio. Everybody was like, why? I mean, because I don't think you would be any good at it. But now...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks a lot.
That's what I got. That's the exact thing that I got. But now... And I had a full-time day job. I'm not working that anymore. This is all I'm doing now is radio. And my wife is totally behind me, 100%. She doesn't want me to go back to work in a full-time day job. She actually wants me to further my career in radio.
See, that's what I'm talking about, is that when you're with the right person, they care about you. And for the most part, they'll figure out how to make it work. I mean, you can't sit there and say, yeah, see you later. I'm going to go do this. And then afterwards, I'm going to have drinks with the guys. And then after this, no, there has to be, I'm working. And there has to be a definite sign of working. But at the same point in time, if you're with the right person, they care enough about you to say, oh, you know what? I care about you, Dano. I care enough about you to want to see you happy. I want to see you happy when you come and hang out with the family. I don't want you like disgruntled and angry and, you know, slamming doors and upset with your life because you're not doing anything you want to do.
Right. Yeah, no, and you know, and by the way, real quickly, Ashley, that's how much his wife rocks, because I know what hours Dan works. and she's totally 100% behind him, you know, making that sacrifice for him to get ahead, which is what you have to do. I mean, not just the radio business, but, you know, in pretty much any business.
Yay, Dano's wife.
Dano's wife.
See, that's what it's all about, though. When people love you, they care about you, they're dedicated to the love of you, and that's where their dedication is as well. So that's kind of cool. It's kind of two-pronged. It's kind of cool. It's kind of quippy. It's kind of neat. You know, so dedication, I think, goes hand in hand with, like, full engagement, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can recognize by how a person speaks of what they're working on. Think about it. Like, how many times have you... know that somebody's working on something, and you can actually directly discern how dedicated they are to what they're doing just by listening to them talk about it. I mean, sometimes you go, so why are you wasting your time with that? You know, because they'll talk about it as if it means absolutely nothing to them. And I think we've all recognized that before when people do that. But then other times when people talk about something they love and they're passionate about it, it makes you go, wow, okay, yeah, you're building me up, man. Yeah, this is great. I feel it too. I'm so behind you. This is so awesome. I'm so happy for you. And it's like they get like that energy and it's like all energizing. It's almost like drinking like three Red Bulls. And they're like, woo, I'm right behind you and I believe in you and all that stuff. And I think that's what it's all about, right? And I think that's what, you know, what it's all about as far as dedication is concerned, especially when true friends and people like really care about you. They see it for what it is. So when Perspectives returns, we're going to continue talking about the importance of dedication, right? We're going to talk about what dedication and determination mean, and we'll begin our interpretation really on determination and how the possession of this internal thing that I call this internal personal belief is paramount to your life. It's really paramount to you having a happy life, to being happy, to having a happy heart, to personal success. And a lot of times we also wonder, how do you keep happy and determined when things are down? We're going to talk about that as well, because it can be easy breezy to be all happy and determined and dedicated when things are all up and the chips are up and everybody's happy and you keep progressing. But what happens when things slow down, or what happens if you have a roadblock that comes up? Also, later on, I'm going to give you the secret tips to being able to see if you are actually creating your own roadblocks, because that's essential. Because if you're creating your own roadblocks, you actually know better than anybody else how to stop yourself in your tracks. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives Live here, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, and thanks for tuning in tonight. And if you're just now tuning in, we've been discussing the importance of dedication. And I think we're about to start our determination interpretation. Wow, that's wild. And how the possession of the internal personal belief is paramount to a fruitful life, a happy soul, and to your personal success. Later on in the next few segments, I'm going to actually give you the secret techniques and life strategies for creating lasting belief and to be aware of the roadblocks that you actually create for yourself. You know, dedication goes hand in hand, I think, with full engagement. And you can recognize by how a person really speaks of what they're working on and how they speak about what they're doing to discern how dedicated they truly are. I think appearances are very superficial and easily manipulated. And I think that's an interesting thing, because people will show you whatever it is that they want you to see. And on the other hand, dedication is within the mind. It's really within the heart, honestly. And it is shown through a person's actions, through their feelings, and through their observations. So appearances could be anything. You can actually see somebody wearing a certain outfit, wearing clothes, carrying a briefcase, and you go, oh my gosh, it has to be a banker, that has to be somebody, that has to be do this and that. And I mean, I carried a briefcase in high school as a debater. I was eighth in the nation debate. I carried a briefcase, and I was not a lawyer, I was not a doctor. And the thing is, it's all about appearances. And it's like, really, honestly, I mean, what appearance are you trying to go for? And I think that sometimes people give this appearance of, I'm so successful, I'm radiating in success, all these diamonds I'm dripped in, oh my gosh, you know, for the women and for the men, they're like, look at my shoes and look at my outfit and my
look
car.
Look at my car, yeah.
Yeah, and the car is the biggest thing, and you're like, oh, this guy's got to be successful, you know? And at the same point in time, you peel back all those appearances and you realize the truth. I mean, I've run into some of the most interesting, wealthy individuals in the world, and they were, you know, in the bathrobe. I mean, not looking that good. Or in some, you know, workout clothes and getting a coffee and everything and hanging out with a dog. And you look at this person and you're thinking, you don't think anything, but they could be, you know, one of those 100 million, 200 million value people. You have no idea. And the thing is, I think a lot of times people go by appearances, not value, not respect, not success. So what is determined? Because I think determination and dedication are separate from appearances. I think that appearances are what we as humans take as reality. But sometimes looking through your two eyes, these eyes that we have, it's not reality. It's what we see. It's what we want to see. We want to say that that person's successful. We want to say that this person's that. But in actuality, are they really? Probably not. I mean, you have to really sit there and say, what does this person value? Who are they? Do I internally feel something toward this person? Do I feel that they're a good person? Do I feel like they are dedicated and determined? And when I was looking at what determination means, it means firmness of purpose, right? Willpower, the strength of character, the single-mindedness, the purposefulness, the intentness. Wow, that's a lot of stuff right there.
You just said a mouthful there.
You know, the definition of the word alone projects certain distinct qualities, and I think that's inherent for success as well as dedication itself, right? And after years of me preaching purpose, I know I preach it a bunch, purpose trumps all for happiness. Once you find your purpose, you find your happiness. That's just the way it is. You can be like going crazy, you know, partying all the time, doing everything you want to do, and eventually when you figure out what your purpose is, you go, whoa, halt, stop. I gotta do this. I gotta make this work. I mean, you're no longer playing against yourself. You know, you've shown up. You know, you've washed that uniform. You've been ready for this time. You've practiced. You know exactly where you're gonna be in that field of life. And that's why I think this will mean so much.
Yes.
think all of us know Field of Dreams. I think we all know when they're in the base. Okay, Dano, you complete me. You know this. Tell us about this scene, because this scene is so important, I think, for a lot of people, especially people growing up, especially people that might have had estrangeness with their dad or their father.
I believe that's the scene where he's actually playing catch with his father.
At the end of the movie? Yeah.
At the end of the movie, yeah.
And it's so cool. I mean, and I think that's life, too. It's like you're actually there. You've suited up. You've got the uniform on. You're ready. You know what's up. If you build it, they will come. If you show up, if you make it happen, you know, and it's like go the distance. And that whole movie, Field of Dreams, go the distance. If you build it, they will come. All these things. When they actually build it, they do show up. You know, when they go and he tries to find Moonlight Graham, they do go the distance. And I think that's what determination and dedication is, because when you go the distance and you do all this stuff, no matter what it seems like, because a lot of times when you're dedicated to something and you're determined to something, it seems crazy. Like, you seem crazy. Like, you're going to do this? You're going to make this happen? Oh, my God, really? I mean, you know how many other millions of people want to do this? And you're like, you know what? I believe in myself. I believe this can happen. I know that I can do this. And it's like you have to dispel all this disbelief. And eventually you do it, but it kind of is, it happens. It has to go in wanes and forms. Like, it seems like it's on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis. You're constantly reassuring yourself or thinking in your head, or you have someone else questioning you. And then you're like, no, no, I can do this. It's no big deal. And I think we've all been there before where you have to keep constantly, it's almost like you have to keep guard. Because if you don't watch out, like the, I don't know if I can do this is going to step in.
Yeah, we are a lot of times our own worst enemy. And I can speak kind of, from my experience. I'm a perfectionist, and that has been an obstacle for me in the past, because my mindset is, well, if I can't do it right, then is it worth doing at all?
True. So, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If I can't do it right, if I can't do it doing perfect, or if I feel perfect within my, you know, crazy definition of perfect, I feel like I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny how you see people all the time that do things. I mean, some people call it half A, you know, I mean, I hate to say that, but you know what I'm talking about. And they go off, you know, and it's like, okay, well, they get away with it. And you're thinking, they're doing this and that. Why can't I allow myself to do that? But I can't allow a non-good product to go out.
I think a lot of people are doubting themselves and their abilities. You know, like you, for example, I think you may doubt yourself.
He's pointing to Bill, by the way.
Yeah.
I meant to do that.
Ashley Burgess, the narrator.
the running commentary here.
Dano points to Bill as he talks to him about he thinks that he doubts himself. Okay, back to Dano.
Yeah. Bill, because I know you, just in knowing you, I think you do doubt yourself a little bit.
I do.
And your abilities, you know, and what you can and can't do. And maybe you have had some people to say, no, you can't do this, you know, in your past.
Well, that, and also, you know, I remember when I first changed professions to get into the radio business, and I think maybe you had this happen to you too. People look at you like, what? You know, they look at you like you got a horn coming out of your head, you know?
Which you do have a horn, though.
Well, but still. I mean,
oh, you mean, okay, you covered it up with that napkin, and everybody's cool.
They don't have to look at me like that. That's all I'm saying.
No, okay, Bill doesn't really have a horn. But no, I get what you mean. I've been pushed to the test, too, and I think we've all been pushed to the test. And it's like you feel like you should drop down into a ball, you know, even curl up in the ball. What about getting on the floor, crying, a little bit of eating, overeating, over-drinking? You know, and I think it's that pity party, right, that, oh, woe is me. And sometimes it doesn't even get that much. Sometimes it's just that undercurrent where you keep hearing in your head as you're walking to your next meeting, you really think you can do this? You know how many people want to do this? Really? Maybe you should just pack it up and go home. You know, and you sit there and it's like dealing. And I think that's where people procrastinate a lot of times, because they're thinking, what if they say no? What if they don't like me? What if this doesn't work? What if I'm not really made out to do all this stuff? And I think what happens if you get knocked down? I mean, what happens if you get knocked down not only once, but twice or three times or five times or 10 times? And do you question if you're doing the right thing? I mean, I have questioned if I'm doing the right thing. Do you wonder if you need to rethink your life? But the weirdest thing is that I have like this complete dedication to what I'm doing, even though it seems so odd. Almost like to the point where you think, I don't know, I'm just avoiding all space and time. You know, I mean, like, I see it. I know that it's crazy, but I know it's true. I mean, stranger things have happened, right? I mean, stranger things have happened. Anything can happen. And I really do think it's in the mind. It's almost like that placebo effect, right? So they always talk about how doctors, you know, give these pills, and a lot of times they're just sugar pills, they're just placebos. And
but it works because people think it's working. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. It does. And guess what? It normally works better than an actual medication.
Yeah.
Because the person goes, this is going to be my miracle drug. This is going to help me. This is going to change my whole life. And all of a sudden, their whole life has changed, you know? And I think this is awesome because that tells you about how the power of the mind is so important. And sometimes, though, the only thing you have to worry about is the other people around you that sit there and question. You put those questions. You really think you can do that, Big Skinny? You really think you can do that, Daniel? No, and it's more like you go, yeah, yeah, I really do know I can do that. But let's talk about you.
Right.
I think sometimes you got to push it on them. And I think sometimes we get in our own way. And you have to stick with it. You have to be, if it's worth it to you and you feel talented and you're skilled and it's responsible and you're doing the responsible thing by people around you, you got to stick with it. So later on tonight, don't forget, I'll be letting you know on a few secrets on how to create your own lasting belief and how to become aware of those roadblocks that you actually self-create, because we normally are our worst enemy. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives Live, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, I think most people have been tuned in all night, but if you're just tuning in, we've been discussing the importance of dedication and determination and how that can really actually help your internal belief system, to help you believe in yourself. Because I think that's what's so crucial in life, is that it's not about what all you know sometimes, it's actually your belief. Later on, I'm also going to give you the secret techniques and life strategies for creating and lasting belief in yourself, but also realizing when you create your own roadblocks. Because a lot of times we create our own roadblocks for ourselves, not robots, but roadblocks. You know, because we normally put ourselves in the middle. We actually say, no, self, you're not going to do this. But we normally do that in a hiding way, in a different way, because we're not supposed to know it consciously, just subconsciously. We'll talk about that later. So let's talk about our own personal roadblocks, because I know that I've created my own. I know that first off, I always create my own by not actually stepping up to the plate and doing something. So I'll sit there and say, this is a great idea, and I'll write it down in my list of things to do, right? And then, like, I don't know, like a month later, I'll look back and I'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna get to that for sure. I'm gonna do that. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the greatest day for that, because that seems like a better day. And then, you know.
And then tomorrow comes.
And then a week later goes by, and then I don't get to it. And eventually it comes to the point where I either do it, or it's the telltale sign. You either do it or you don't. It's done. I don't know about y'all.
Got a fish or cut bait.
Yeah. So what about you, Dan? I'm looking right at you, man. We're like, you're like so brother and sisters right here. I'm getting you. What is one of the roadblocks that you've created in your life? Because we all done it. I mean, I've done procrastination as mine, but I'm sure that you have something different.
Well, you know, and I've said this on the show before, that I was in the military for a while. And whenever I got out, I had no clue what I was going to do. I had no clue. You know, I thought I was going to be in the military forever. But, you know, and then when I got out, I was like, well, all right, I'll go back to work at this job. And it was just like a dead end job. And so I had to do something to try to get out of it, but I didn't know what to do. So there was one of my roadblocks right there. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I get there? You know?
Not knowing what to do.
Right.
I don't know. Is that a roadblock, though? I guess so.
Well, yeah.
Because probably know inherently what you're supposed to do, but you just kind of.
But you don't know how to get there, because, see, here's the thing about determination and accomplishing your goals. There's not a Google Map app. You know, for, okay, here's what I want to be when I grow up, and here's where I am now, and how exactly the steps that I need to take there. Well, Google doesn't have an app for you on that.
Right.
So sometimes,
like what I'm doing, nobody's done it before.
Yeah.
So I'm like creating this new horizon. I'm doing this thing. I'm doing this radio show. I'm going to get this TV deal. You got the three books out, writing the fourth book. Nobody's done any of this. I really have nobody to look up to, because unfortunately this industry is difficult. I mean, like, nobody really wants to hang out with you. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure that there'll be a few that want to, but those people are very successful and very secure in their own right. And I underline the word secure, because they have to be very secure to even have somebody around them that they think could be successful. And I see what you're saying. So not knowing exactly the road to take.
Right. I knew I wanted to get into radio somehow, some way. I didn't know how to get into it, though. I really didn't. You know,
no, that's true. You don't know. Where do you start?
If I go to school, do I become an intern? How do I get into it? So that's what I was trying to figure out. And eventually, I found my way into it. But it just took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
I understand that completely. It's like you have to kind of try to figure out which way to go. you have nobody saying, hey, this is the way I went. I mean, I didn't have any of that. I didn't have anybody telling me how to do it. Nobody created me the treasure map.
Yeah.
I feel like, think about City Slickers, right, with the treasure map, where they're going to get the gold, Curly's gold, and they go up there, and they get the treasure, and then it's gone, you know, and it's like some fool's gold, and da-da-da. That's all I feel is I never even got that map. I never even got the let's have some fun and find some fake gold map.
Well, it's kind of like a few things I've learned over the years is, you know, you never know what you can achieve, you know, unless you attempt it or you ask. You know, it's one simple thing. Like when I met AB a while back, I simply asked if I could come and watch her radio show. And that's how this kind of blossomed.
Wow. I think Big Screen taught us something right now.
What's the worst you could have done? Say no?
Exactly.
You're right.
It's a 50-50.
So why is it that why is it that humans are so conditioned to not want to hear no? Because I think no becomes like, it's not that you don't want to hear the word no, but it's like the thought of the no becomes really overwhelming and huge in your own mind.
I think it's the personal aspect of it. Like if somebody says no to you, see, and I was in sales a long time ago, and when I moved on into being a trainer, I always used to train people, ask questions where the answer can't be no, okay? Because then that door is shut when people say no to you. So I think people take rejection personally. And if you think, well, they're just going to say no anyway, I might as well not even try it. I think that's a very human instinct.
Well, then that's just shooting down your self-confidence.
Right.
Not believing in yourself.
Right.
That's kind of similar to dating. And, you know, if you see a, you know, beautiful person, if you talk to them, great. You'll get a yes, no. If you don't, it's a definite no.
Yeah, it's 100% guarantee right there. Yeah.
You got nothing, or you got something, or you got nothing. I get what you're saying. I think a lot of times, though, the human condition, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be like, oh, yeah, we like you. We love you. Oh, we love what you're doing. And I think that can be overwhelming when somebody's going to say no. I mean, because I think you attach yourself to them saying no about whatever it is. And it's necessarily not about you, because it's about their perception of the product you're selling, or the perception of you, or their perception of life and their grand perspective on life, which is really the big deal, right? Because that's what they judge the whole world by. So, okay, give us a roadblock.
One of my roadblocks would probably be just not kind of being lost for a while there. I kind of found my niche over time, and I'm still working on what I want to achieve, but what I have achieved in the last 6 weeks is, I consider, mind-blowing. I mean, going from, you know, the simple life to events and parties and meeting people and socializing and networking, and that's how it happens. And just trying to, eventually be on the big screen. That's my goal.
But did you kind of think, well, geez, how am I supposed to get started?
I never knew how.
Yeah, I mean, so I think your roadblock's kind of the same as Dano's is, you know, there, you didn't, nobody was
he
sitting there holding your
roadblock, not robot.
Yeah, not a robot, not a fembot, a roadblock.
Machine gun jubbly.
Right.
No, but yeah, but honestly, yeah, the same is the same. So y'all are like soul brothers, Dano right. and Big Skinny, because their same was being lost. They didn't know which direction to turn. Mine has always been procrastination. I've always known mine from the day, from the beginning, because it's just something that's inherent. I mean, because I think it's because I obviously know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know. It's just, I think it's, I'm scared of maybe some certain successes or whatever. Or getting to that point, because what happens next?
But I look at it this way. You amaze me every day with your confidence, with your intellectual talk, with just a simple text each day can, you know, make me smile, make my day better. And I look up to you very much.
Thank you. God bless you. That's awesome. That makes me feel
good. Aw, we're having a moment here.
There's a moment. There's no tear. Here. No, but there's a happy face. Thank you so much. I definitely have a smile on that one, because We are true friends. And everybody in this room, I mean, we do build each other up and we believe in each other and we believe in what we all offer because we wouldn't be here together if we didn't. And I think that in life, you have to find those people, whether it's 4 or 10 or 20 or how many. God bless you. You're lucky if you have 20 people that actually believe in you and help you out and are there for you. And I think you want to kind of combine yourself with people that are going somewhere. And you want to combine yourself with people that believe in themselves, too. Because if they don't believe in themselves, they're definitely not going to believe in you. Because you're not good enough. Because if they're not good enough, you're definitely not good enough. Because at least they're them. I mean, it's kind of like the old adage of Bible stories and stuff like that. We're not going to go into all that right now. But the concept of what people know already, the people they already know, they don't take the same care for what those people say. A lot of times they want an outsider, a stranger, really, to give them advice and to take that advice. Otherwise, you know, they don't think that that person near them could actually give them inherently good advice because that person, when they were 8 years old, wet in the bed, or that person did this or that, or that person got drunk in high school and made a fool of themselves, and so therefore, they could never have the intelligence level to help them get out of a problem or help them in their life. And in actuality, they're missing the whole boat because all the time, we normally have the people right next to us that we need to be successful, and we don't take that time to figure it out. So we're about to hit break, but think about this. Before we go to break, think about doing a, just think about looking at your friends and doing an inventory and start figuring out the people that you haven't really made friendships with, the people you haven't really developed friendships with, and start wondering, could those people actually benefit from your friendship and vice versa, and start cultivating those relationships that you don't really cultivate at this time. When we return, I'm going to give you the secret techniques and life strategies for creating belief within yourself and how to actually recognize when you're creating those roadblocks, because when you're putting up the signs and you're saying detour and no outlet and all that great stuff, you got to figure out when you're doing it, because that's important, because you got to stop yourself because you don't have thousands of years to live. You have a finite time. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. Yeah, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you what
you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, or you've been tuned in the entire hour, we've been talking about determination and dedication and how that can actually set you apart from the rest. You know, I've been thinking, though, and we've all been talking about the concept of roadblocks and how we personally set up roadblocks against ourselves and to make it hard for ourselves to achieve certain things. So right now, I think it's the time to give you the secrets to realize, are you setting up roadblocks? Are you setting up roadblocks to actually keep yourself off target? Let's find out.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
That's all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. I mean, the point is that are you putting up roadblocks? And these are the ways you can find out. These are the secret strategies to figuring out, are you roadblocking yourself? First off, do you procrastinate? I think a lot of times we all
ooh,
do.
Ooh.
Bill's raising his hand.
Mr. Cotter. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I love that show. That's great.
I think you just dated yourself.
Mr. Cotter. No, procrastination is it, right? It trumps everything because I put everything off on the back burner and I sit there and I think later on, like, I'll have dinner. And I think a lot of people listening tonight will understand what I'm saying. You have dinner and you're sitting there with your loved one or your family, and all of a sudden they go, why haven't you done this? Or, like, in my situation, why haven't you had them on the show? Or why haven't you done that? And you go, I'm having a nice dinner. I'm having some nice wine. I'm chilling out. And now you got me thinking about what I haven't done. Now I'm all stressed out and I'm over there going, I don't want any wine. I'm going to go home and I'm going to make these calls and I'll see you later. You know what I mean? That's how I feel sometimes because I procrastinated so long that I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to make a move.
Because, well, and your own conscience, you know, can sometimes be your worst enemy. You know, well, your worst enemy or your best friend, too.
Your consciousness?
Yeah, so because sometimes you need that kick in the pants. You know you've got to do something. You've got this thing hanging over your head. At least this is the way it is with me. You got this thing hanging over your head, and, you know, I'm like, oh, I need to do it. And finally, I just... Because I'm a Gemini, actually. So
ditto.
We've got the split personality.
Woo! Three Geminis! Yes. And so, Dano, what about you?
I'm a Cancer.
Oh, well, And that's true in more ways than one. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he just shot me.
Yeah, Dano just shot. Okay, narrator, Dano just shot him with an imaginary gun.
Did a shotgun.
Actually, what was that though? Was that an air rifle or
a shotgun?
Air shotgun.
It was an air shotgun. I knew that. That was good. See, that was great.
Look at those.
Actually, cancers are great because they always want you to go out to have dinner with them and eat, and you always talk over things over dinner. Well, that food.
They want you to pay for the food. That's why. So
really,
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, he's not saying you're wrong. No, I'm kidding.
No words from Dano.
Oh.
But anyway, so
Dano, good people.
I have like the split personality thing, so I'm always arguing with myself when especially on things that I don't want to do, but I know that needs to be done.
Oh yeah, and, like when you don't want to do it, it's even worse because you're like, because it's like fundamentally like I don't want to do this. But a lot of times, why do we not want to do it? A lot of times, we don't want to do it because either there's like we already know inherently that it's not going to work, or we feel that it's not going to work. And we think, oh my gosh, I'm going to look a fool. I'm going to make a fool. I'm going to look a fool over here, you know. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to deal with it. And I think that's why we procrastinate.
I think you're exactly right.
I don't like to look like a fool. Nobody likes to look like a fool. Nobody likes to look like a fool. But at the same point in time, how do you know you're going to look like a fool? I mean, if you inherently consciously know that this isn't going to work, then go to the next one. Because I heard this guy talk about ideas the other day, and he said, your first 15 ideas are not good enough. Take those 15 ideas, throw them out, and start again. And I understand that, but my ideas are golden, okay? So they're like the golden goose egg, okay? So I think my first 15 are okay.
Because you are AB.
Yeah, but you know what? We are on show 100 and something. So I guess I have already filtered through my 15, 30, 45, 75, 100. Okay, yeah. So we're in the good stuff right now. So in that guy's entire thought process, I'm winning. I am winning more than Charlie Sheen ever won. So there you go. I mean, even though he has way more money than me and he's a very talented guy.
For now.
But yeah, he's doing pretty good. I mean, maybe we can all hang out in South America together. But I think the second thing besides procrastination that actually keeps, like, we keep the roadblocks going is that, you know, everything comes before your dream. Think about the whole idea of the martyrism, you know. Well, if I didn't have to do all the laundry, and if I didn't have to pick up all the kids all the time, and I didn't have to do this, and I didn't have to take care of you, I didn't have to plan the party for the company picnic, I could have actually done something for myself. But, you know, my life comes last because I'm here for everybody else. And so that's just the way it is. And that's my life. And so I will just be house mom or whatever it is. And I think that's the key, is that we all put it on other people. We put this martyrism, like it's not your fault, because that's another way of procrastination, right? Because, and it's not direct procrastination, because I know I'm procrastinating. I know nobody's standing there with their phone in their hand going, nope! Like some imaginary person isn't grabbing my phone out of my hand going, no, you can't do this. You can't call, as they run down, you know, as they run down the block with my phone. No, that's not happening. My phone's sitting right there. I'm like, man, you know, maybe if I called, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I don't know. But at least I know there's a fact that if I do martyrism, I don't feel like it's about me. It's about my family.
Or it's everybody else around you.
Or the people that need me.
Yeah.
And I can't think about myself because that's selfish. And I'm not a selfish person. I'm a good person. And I love people. And doggone it, people like me. And that's the key. And I think that's what it's all about. Is sometimes you say, oh, other people are diverting me, even though that's an actual personal diversion by yourself, and you pawn it off on other people as scapegoats.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's actually a really good one, if you think about it. That's a deep one. Because you have to actually trifold that one in your mind to think, okay, this is the way it is. This is the other people's problem, not mine. They're just mean. And they need me, and they're so needy all the time, and it's because of them that I can't do anything in my life because they wouldn't know what to do.
I know a person who fits that category. She's the world champion at making excuses. Like she'll have an excuse for the reason why she makes excuses.
Gold medal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always somebody else's fault. Somebody did something to her. You know. Everybody's out to get her.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where it's like the whole Henry Kissinger line, even paranoids have enemies. You know, it's to the point where, you know, nobody can stand to be around her. So
I mean, if she's paranoid, that's a big issue.
It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
oh, the whole thing, everybody's out to get me, everybody's going to take me down.
Yeah.
This is all bad. Everybody hates me. This is going to be bad. Paranoia, though, paranoia will destroy you. I'll tell you that. It will destroy you. It's not a good thing. It doesn't help you out. But yeah, I understand people like that. They're constantly putting like this martyrism, like this is happening to me, this is happening to me. But I think lastly, and I think everybody else can kind of attain to this, is if no one else is fighting you on what you're doing, if no one's saying, Dano, you can't do that, no one else is saying, Bill, Big Skinny, you can't do that, I won't allow that, if nobody's fighting you and nobody's saying you can't do it, then why are you still standing here? Why are you still waiting?
Sometimes you can be your own worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, when the door is open and the doorman is opening the door for you at the club or wherever you're at, and they look at you and you're just standing there, door's already open, what are you waiting on? Are you waiting for an invitation? Are you waiting for them to send you an invitation in the mail? And then maybe you'll decide, okay, yeah, maybe I'll go. Maybe. Well, what are you doing there then? Either go in the door or leave. If you don't want to go, then why are you there? I mean, make the decision. Either walk through the door or don't. I mean, you can't stand there by the door all day. Eventually, you got to figure it out.
Pony up or bounce.
Pony up or bounce. Exactly. And if the door is open, you might not have your whole life to do it. You might not have your whole life to go into that door. You might have to make a decision. And eventually you might make the decision too late and you go, my gosh, what would have happened if I would have made that decision 5 minutes earlier? 5 years earlier. Sometimes time can get away from us. So I think we've talked a lot about tonight about life strategies for creating your belief within yourself. And I think the last thing I'd like to leave our listeners with, that's very important, is that you know you. And if you can figure out your purpose in life and you understand that and you actually understand what your purpose is, that's like three-fourths of the battle, right? I mean, I think that once you figure that out, you figure it out, something that some people never figure out their whole life. So relish in the fact that you know that. Then go from there. You might not know how to get there. Like in Dano's situation, you might not know how to get into radio. In other situations, you might not understand what's the next step because you've never done it before and there's nobody sitting there saying, holding your hand going, okay, the next step would be that you would do this. No, you have to kind of forge your way through it, and sometimes you're going to hit dead ends, but other times you're going to go the right direction, and that's what it's all about. So I think it's a good night from us, from Perspectives.
I think it was an excellent night.
It was. It was a great night.
You know, I learned a lot. I think I learned a lot about myself tonight, you know, that needed to be, you know, kind of shown to me, like look in the mirror, or even maybe I knew it already, but just, you know, kind of needed that little extra oomph.
You and I both. We both know it all the time. But you know what? It's sometimes good to see it glaring in our face. However, for all our listeners, we have a great show for you next week. We got a lot going on. Perspectives is going to explore some great topics coming up. So stay tuned, because Perspectives, with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, I guess we'll be back in three shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts. And where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Hey, welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And thanks for tuning back in tonight. And if you're just now tuning in, we've been discussing the importance of dedication and determination, and how the possession of internal personal belief is absolutely paramount to a fruitful life, a happy soul, and to your own personal success. Later on this evening, I'm going to let you in on a few secret techniques and life strategies for creating lasting belief and to make yourself aware of the roadblocks that you self-create. Man, I love that song. I love that song. Joining Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess, is Essie. Essie is a fashion designer and has been designing clothing since she was a little girl. Essie, we're glad to have you here in the studio tonight. How are you doing?
Hello, Ashley. I'm fine. And you?
Well, I'm doing a lot better now. You make this whole place look great.
It's good.
This is amazing. I mean, come on. This looks great. It looks really good. So we're glad to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So let's start with a little bit of backstory, because that's my big deal on Perspectives. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how this happened, because we know that you design clothing. You know, when did you begin designing clothing?
Actually, I first designed my first piece when I was 6 years old. And it was something that I was you know, born that way, basically. But I come from a family that kind of, you know, they don't see fashion design as a career. It's more of a hobby or just basically, yeah, a hobby. And it was kind of swept under the rug. But I just kind of did it secretly since I was a little girl until, you know, recently took it seriously, I guess.
And that's cool. I mean, I respect that. And a lot of times that's true. It's like with anything that family and friends could see as a hobby.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and it's sad because a lot of these things are huge careers, but I think a lot of times parents come from the fact of, well, I don't know how you're going to make any money.
Yes,
I don't know how you're going to be
exactly.
You know, financially stable and something like that. And I understand from that perspective, but yeah, getting into the way of somebody that has a talent for it since they were six, we still love them and all, but you know, it's easy for them to question, and I understand.
And they're very old fashioned. I don't blame them. They're very old fashioned. My parents are Nigerian. They're extremely, extremely old fashioned. They only believe in education, which I totally believe in as well. But this is something that I was born to do. I know since I was a little girl, and my mom just finally accepted that. So I'm happy about that.
Well, when the people accept your purpose, it's so great.
Yeah.
When people finally step up to the plate and realize, okay, this is her purpose. She's happy with this. She obviously excels in this. We're all going to accept it now.
Finally, yeah. When I turned 30, that's when she accepted it.
That's awesome. Better late than never.
Yeah. It's like, okay, finally you're old now, so you can do what you want.
Well, and also too, I mean, you know, if mom's accepts it, she can kind of talk dad into, you know, at least tolerating.
Yeah. My dad is still in that process, but tolerating.
But now you got mom in your corner.
Yeah,
so,
but mommy's in the corner now, so that's all that's important is mommy. So
that's awesome. Yeah, if mom's happy, everybody's happy. If mom's upset, nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy. Yes,
I'm shocked at the 30 statement. I can't believe it.
You've
aged very gracefully.
Oh, thank you.
Well, there you go, big skinny. There you go.
Making me blush.
Bringing it in for the real thing. Here we go. Yeah. You know, I think that's awesome because, you know, a lot of times we go through this, we figure out our purpose. And we were talking earlier about a book that I read recently and I like how a lot of people don't really fall into their purpose until almost 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think to be 30 is pretty young to be embarking, not only in the fact that you've been doing this since you were six,
yes,
but to know for a fact, this is the direction, this is the determination, this is where I'm going.
Yes. I knew this was going to be my career when I was about 25 years old.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I knew this is what I was going to do. I was supposed to be an accountant. That's what I went to school for. I have a master's degree in accounting.
Wow.
Can you picture me?
No, I can't.
An accountant?
Best looking accountant I've ever seen.
No, it's just that I cannot see myself pulling my hair up in a ponytail and wearing a suit, business suit every day.
And the glasses on the end of your nose.
It would not work. It won't work. And I've always been into fashion, into style, into especially what I do. You know, in beading, I do a lot of beading work, and it's something that has always been with me since I was a little girl. And I just can't see myself being behind the desk, just working, even in the business part of my career. I can't even do the business part. I just do the designing part, and that's all I know is the designing part of it.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect that. I'm having to do too many things and wear too many hats. You know, let me ask you, did you have anyone to really look up to when you were young? Did you have someone that you looked up to or a role model, or did you really just self-create your own role model?
I imagine my own. It's more of I don't want to say it's an imaginary friend, but it's more of, I imagine it from just watching movies. I was born in Nigeria and I didn't watch a lot of TVs a lot, but went to a lot of plays. And my first play was The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
And that really is the first, that's what, you know, started this whole thing, this fashion. There's a theme of this fashion show is Phantom of the Runway. And that was my first major fashion, the show that I saw that really inspired me. And those characters were basically people I looked up to, what they did.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of aligns with the whole theme too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have theater, you have, you know, look.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of goes right into my other question. So we've been talking about determination and, and dedication and what that really means in life. So what is determination itself? What has that played in your life? I mean, how determined have you been? How determined and how much willpower have you had to have to continue to do what you do?
Honestly, I'll just say to do anything, especially for me, for anything at all, not just designing, anything, you really have to be determined to do it. Because if you hate what you do, it will kill you, basically.
Amen to that.
It will kill you. It will. Definitely. I was an accountant for 2 years, and I've never been more depressed in my life. But I'm doing something that I love, and I don't care what obstacle is in my way. I don't see it. It's not there to me. But something you don't love, even though there's nothing blocking it, you will create something to block it. And for me, there's been a lot of, again, going back to how I was raised and the kind of family I came from, they were kind of my obstacle in the beginning, because they have this whole, you know, life plan for me, but I don't want to go towards that direction. So I have to kind of convince them that, see, this is where I want to go. I'm really good at this. I want you to see that I'm really good at this. And proving myself to them was the biggest obstacle to me, or the biggest way to, you know, break that obstacle, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you say you come from a traditional family, Essie. Yes. Would you say that if you were a boy rather than a girl, then they would have been a little bit more accepting of your career choice? Or
actually, it would be worse. Because
would have been,
yeah,
a boy designer?
Worse. A boy, yeah, it would be worse. It's not because of a boy designer. Like, to them, it would be more, because I'm a woman. Again, I come from that culture where it's still old-fashioned. Women, you work, yes, but a man is going to provide
right
at the end of the day. Yeah. And as a man, I can just see my dad saying, you're crazy. You've gone mad. You've gone mad. You don't want to be a designer? Okay. Because, again, designers live under the bridge in my country. So.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, a lot of times we think of things in different senses, different characteristics, but... You know, I'm not from Nigeria. I'm not from certain places. Mm-hmm. And to understand where people are coming from and the old world and the way that people experience life. Like, you know, my grandmother, the way she sees things is totally different from the way my mother sees things, vice versa. And where they, you know, they came up with, and the amount of money or non-money they came up with is all a different story.
Yeah. Mine's the same way. So. Yes.
I think that's interesting. So let me ask you another question before we go to break. Mm-hmm. You brought up the fact that Roblox, you know, they kind of made themselves into a Roblox.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever self-create any Roblox for yourself as well about fashion, like to keep yourself away from doing it?
Never.
Wow, that's
awesome. There was a lot of roadblocks, not just family, but financially, just, you know, self-doubt a little bit. You always have self-doubt, but I always try to translate my roadblocks into how strong can, like, it's a test of how strong can you be. If you can overcome this, then you're stronger than you think you are. And that's how I saw it. With something you love, it's always going to be that way. If you love something you're doing, any roadblocks that come your way, you will see it as a challenge and something that you can just, you know, walk over, stomp over, and move on. And that's how I see it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. That is words to live by. When Perspectives with Essie Burgess returns, we're talking about determination, dedication. Essie's going to give us her real perspective again, more on those two concepts. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Essie Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Essie Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Thanks for joining us tonight, and if you're just now tuning in, we're continuing our discussion on the concept of determination and dedication, and how possessing internal personal belief can really help you have a fruitful life. No matter if things are up or down, your belief in yourself is absolute paramount. Later on in the next segment, I'll be giving you some really great techniques and life strategies for creating lasting belief in yourself, and to beware of those roadblocks that we normally self-create. Joining us here back in the studio on Perspectives with Essie Burgess is Essie Azinabor. I got
she
that
got
right.
It.
You got it right. Yay!
Good job, Ashley. I get a star. So, okay, we talked about this right before break. I was asking you about self-sabotaging and if you had actually created any roadblocks for yourself, and you hadn't, because you had actually dealt with all these external roadblocks. And so you feel as though when a roadblock comes your way, it gives you more reason to stand up to it and just overcome it, because it kind of shows you maybe you're on the right path.
Right. Because I will say my roadblocks were more in the beginning of my early stages of when I want to be, when I wanted to be a designer, in the early stages when I first told my parents that, well, I would love to start making clothes. And obviously they shut that down immediately, and I was 10 or, you know, or 11. So that is a roadblock, I would say. But
because now, Ashley, were you in America yet when all this happened? Or
no, I was in Canada.
You can't. Okay.
Yeah, I grew up. I was born in Nigeria. I came to Canada when I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow. That's
great. So I'm Canadian.
Citizenship wise.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. When did you move to the States?
I moved here 3 years ago.
Okay.
Really
to Dallas?
To Dallas, yes.
Oh, okay.
Dallas is the first place I ever lived in the United States.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's all you need to live. Yeah. That's the only place you need to live.
She's not from Texas, but she got here as quick as she could.
Yes. I came here to get away from that environment and really focus on what I really wanted to do, which is what I'm doing right now, fashion.
Well, welcome to the homeland.
Thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know, you know, Texas is its own country. You know that, right?
Yeah, it is its own country. Really, it is.
So you know this is your purpose. You know that this is it. This is your direction. This is your motivation. So where will we be seeing you next in this whole array? I think this is pretty cool.
Yes, well, my main goal is to, you know, actually focus on this line, which I'm doing right now, which is the entire 2014 collection. And my hope is to get it into enough high-end stores as possible all over the States and Canada, and one day Nigeria.
That's very cool.
All over the world.
Yes, yes.
And I think those are good goals. And I think a lot of times you'll find people sit there and say, oh, don't you think that's a little lofty? Or, oh my gosh, don't you think that's a little extreme? And I think, you know,
there was a time when, now when I sit in my showroom, there was a time I sit for like 5 minutes and stare at, you know, my logo on the wall and say, there was a time that this looked really far-fetched and this looked impossible to get. There's a time when I walked by the World Trade Center and I told myself, I wish I could have a showroom there one day. Oh, that's not possible, you know? So, but it is possible. Anything is possible as long as you work for it. It will happen.
Ding, 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 ding. What do we have for Johnny? Yes,
right.
It's so true. Because if you work for it, if you believe in it, if you have dedication, and a lot of times people don't want to work for it. And I think that's the key.
No.
I mean, like, I know people all the time say, what are you doing? What's going on, Ashley? What are you doing? And I'll be like, I'm still at work. They're like, it's 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. This has been going on for like how many days in a row? This has been going on for years in a row.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm working towards something and I believe in something. I believe in myself and I believe what I'm doing. Yes. Otherwise, I wouldn't be that dedicated. I'd go do something else.
Exactly.
You know? I'd make a lot more money doing something else, honestly.
Amen.
Okay, so it's obviously something you love.
Yes.
And that's, so do you have any other friends that are designers that y'all kind of hang out and pal around? You have like a designer group of people that y'all hang out and go, well, I designed this today and I designed that? Or is it basically
I'm the only designer that I know of that I'm friends with.
That's cool. That's cool. You stand in a group on your own. I like that.
It's cool because you get to sit around regular folks and they, you know, then they praise you for what you do. But if you're around designers and it's, yeah, so I'll talk about fashion all day and it's already having enough stress.
Then you talk shop and then you might throw down, you know, you stole my idea.
Competition, yeah. And that's business in general. Business, anything that you're selling out to the public, there is competition. You figure out how you want to stand out from it and still make it wearable and sellable to, you know, others. So
I guess you're right. We're not hanging out with all these different, you know, radio gurus. We're not over here with Rush Limbaugh or anybody else. We're not hanging out here at the studio. So you're right. You know, and I think that does, it makes things very clear, but also it makes you very appreciated by the people around you. And that's really neat. And so tell us a little bit about your line of clothing. So I know you have a wide range of clothing. So explain that to me. Cause sometimes listeners say, oh, fashion designer. Okay. This stuff's way out of my price range. Will I be able to buy something like that? But I think you have a price range for many people.
Yes, I do have a wide range for my price. Well, my price range is very versatile, I guess. It is all women's wear, high-end, contemporary and high-end designer. It ranges from, you find something about $150 and you find something for $8,000.
Wow, that's cool.
It varies. It just depends on how much you want to spend and quality and the beading. The quality is all the same, really. It's just more bead work. The higher the beading, the type of beads, the type of work that was put into an $8,000 dress is very different from the type of work that was put into $100 dress.
So hand bead all this
stuff?
It's
all hand beaded, yes.
Wow, okay.
I charge $8,000 too if I had to do that.
Yeah, it takes a long time to do, and a lot of hard work and sweat goes into that. I have no nails.
You can't see this because we're not on TV, but actually, Essie held up her hands, and you can see she has no nails at this point in time. And she's right. That is not a lie at all.
No nails.
You know, you and I would be looking for the needle and thread the whole time. I mean, for 15 hours, I couldn't find the needle. I'd be like, right, where is it at? Oh, I just stuck myself.
Yeah. I was going to say, you would find it because you'd sit on it or something.
Oh,
I was
man, like, really?
I was like, ow! Ow,
that hurt. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I do have one question. I have a few friends that are designers. Mm-hmm. What has been your favorite piece? I know we visually can't see it, but if you could semi-describe it.
I am really, right now at this point, really obsessed with this bead called the Tibetan bead.
Okay.
I cannot show you, of course, but it is a square-sized bead that is embossed, and so it has a raised emboss on it, so it has a texture on it already, on one bead. So I enjoy using that bead to create pieces, and any dress that has that bead on it is my favorite piece.
What color does it come in?
What color
does it come in?
It comes in brass, gold, and gunmetal.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like artwork. It kind of reminds me of artwork. There's a
yes.
The guy that does some artwork like that. It has like the texture on the side. It's very texturized, very neat. You know, I think that's kind of cool.
Yes.
I like that. I can visualize it.
It makes it different because a lot of beaded, it's understandable. Like, I love beaded dresses, mostly sequence beading or the regular round stone or flat stones. But I wanted to create something very different that each bead has its own texture. And that makes a very interesting texture overall to the piece.
Because that way you can individualize.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if I were a customer mm-hmm. and say, hey, I want to order a dress with Tibetan. I'm sorry.
It's from Tibet.
Tibetan.
Tibetan.
can you put in a custom order?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Basically, the high-end lines are mostly all custom made because for now it is custom made. It will be custom made for probably forever, but even with mass production, where there's still, if you're going to pay $8,000 for a dress, most of my clients will want to come in and get fitted customly for that.
Sure,
so,
yeah. I would if I was spending that kind of money. Good grief.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so let's talk about this upcoming event. I know you have a show. What day is that going to be on?
It is June, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Is that
a
full moon?
No. It is supposed to be a scary day. So I'm with
Kathleen. Right.
It's actually one of the luckiest days of the year.
So that's good. Yeah. That's the reason why.
And Skinny points to a tattoo of a 13 on his arm. I have to be like the narrator here. I have to like the narration.
I was gonna say, it's like calling a baseball game, isn't it?
It'd be like the Rushmore, narrator.
Yeah.
And he points to the 13 on his left arm.
Very subtly.
Running commentary here.
So when is it? June 13th?
June 13th. It's called Phantom of the Runway, and it's basically based off the show.
The Phantom of the Opera.
The Phantom of the Opera. So there's going to be a lot of the Phantom theme going on. The mask, the smoke, the whole dark to the light, and this whole storyline. It's going to be very theatrical.
Very cool. Yes. Okay, so where do we find tickets for that event?
Eventbrite. So it is sa-azenabor.eventbrite.com.
Now spell
it. But you
for
will
us.
Find it ESE-AZE. NABOR.eventbrite.com.
And this will be on social media
This will be on Facebook, Instagram, of course. And you can easily just pick up a ticket from there. There's two tickets. You can get a VIP ticket or the general admission tickets.
That's awesome. I know I will be going for sure. I will be there. And so
yes, definitely.
For all our listeners, you can find me, and I don't know if I'll bring any of the crew. You know, this is a civilized event. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'll be bringing somebody as well, so you'll have to come out and see us. So before we wrap this up, I want to ask you one last question. Essie, what's your perspective? Give us a lasting thought for our listeners tonight.
Follow your dream, no matter what it is, even if it seems impossible to reach. As long as you work towards it, you will achieve it, no matter what.
I like it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Essie Azenabor, I got that right. Thank you for joining Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess. Glad to have you. I look forward to having you here in the future.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
And so you'll have to come back and tell us about all these new happenings. I will see you on the 13th.
Yes.
When Perspectives returns, I'm going to tell you the secret techniques and life strategies for creating lasting belief within yourself, okay? Later on, I'll be giving you more secrets to becoming aware of the roadblocks that you actually create. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer. Listen, do
you want to know a secret? Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And I'm about to tell you some secrets now, some actual secrets you're not going to hear anywhere else, or secret techniques and life strategies for creating the belief within yourself, the belief within yourself and the ability to recognize when you're creating roadblocks. I mean, a lot of times we create our own roadblocks for ourselves. It's not other people. Like in the situation with Essie earlier tonight, she was talking about how, you know, she had roadblocks created by family and other aspects. But for most of the time, we create our own. We put them in our own way. And sometimes the most difficult thing is to really believe in ourselves. And so I don't know why that is. I don't know why the most difficult thing is to believe in ourselves. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose it's so hard for us to have personal belief within ourselves?
Well, it may just be the environment that you grew up around, like Essie said, you know, her family kind of actively, discouraged her. But maybe it doesn't even always have to be an active thing. Maybe just the environment that you grow up around, you're not encouraged to follow whatever your dream is. You know, you get that kind of subtle passive pressure. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that. I totally agree with that. And I think a lot of times, though, we're raised a certain way, even if we're raised in a good family or what have you. There's no good, there's no bad really in these eyes. But I think a lot of times we always think somebody's going to be able to do it better than us. Somebody's more interesting. Somebody's more intelligent. You know, like you watch TV and you go, well, they're the big people. They're the stars. You know, well, what do I got going on here? And I think that's a lot of times where it comes from.
Well, you just kind of have to think about, you know, just look at yourself and realize, you know, I'm a good person. I try to, just be the best I can be. Everybody's, you know, pretty much on the same plane. It's just kind of how you sell yourself.
I'm a person too, Pops. I'm a person too. No, it's true, though. I mean, a lot of times it's like how you sell yourself is how you believe in yourself. But I think that having that internal belief in saying, I can do this, or what I'm saying is right, and I'm not going to question myself.
But yeah, I think it goes back to what Bill was saying, too. You know, if you get told you can't do something so many times, then it's going to be instilled in your head.
True. You know? Also, you know, maybe another factor, too, it's fear of the unknown. Because a lot of times in order to accomplish your goal, well, nobody gives you a roadmap. You know, there's not a Google app for that. And so you just kind of have to figure it out as you go a lot of times. And I think a lot of people are just like scared to, you know, take that, you know, find out what's around the corner because, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel may be a freight train.
You just have to, you know, increase your drive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, which is easier said than done in some cases.
That's true. And a lot of times if the chips are down or even seeing, you know, not a lot of success, it can be kind of overwhelming. You can start wondering, is this an omen? Is this trying to tell me that I shouldn't be doing this? And I think sometimes that can happen. But the first secret I want to let people in on, I want to let our listeners in on is...
Drum roll, please.
I don't think I can do that. I can't really whistle either. But only you know you. And what I'm saying is only you know you. No one else knows what you're thinking. No one else knows the knowledge you know, right? Realize that and act accordingly. And so this is an example I like to give right now. Think about when you hear someone talking about something that they know, and I have air quotes right now, that they know or that they feel that they know, and they kind of stumble over a word or they stumble over something and you're not really thinking about it, but you kind of pause too. And then they kind of look at you like, and then they get all just flustered. Like they don't know if they were thinking the right thing or are they completely off target? And this is something they know like a lot about. And I think that's really the sign a lot of times that we always think that somebody else knows more than we do. And I've had that happen to me when I've been around people and I've actually looked at them and said, I really don't know what you're talking about. And so I pause because you pause, and then you looked at me funny, and then you act like you're all discombobulated and all freaked out. And so I think the first thing about life is that realize that no one's in your head but you. Okay, no matter how paranoid you are, get it out of your head that anybody can hear your brain waves, because they can't, okay? I can't hear exactly what you're thinking. I can't read your mind. I might can read your mind a little bit, but I can't do it all the time. So no one knows exactly what you know, and no one has the knowledge you know. So when you're talking to someone, talk with authority. Believe in yourself. I mean, otherwise, don't even bother opening your mouth. I mean, because when people listen to you, they listen to you because they believe in you. They listen to you because they know you have something to say.
And I think that's I think that's very consequential to life. And it's basically, it's really important. The second secret is we are the hardest on ourselves, right? We think everyone knows more than us, and they don't.
I fall in that category. I am my own worst critic.
You are?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're so hard on yourself because you think, oh, everybody's doing better than me, and everybody's going to be a better producer than me, and everybody's got to do this, and, you know, and obviously Bill is our producer, and I do the same thing sometimes. You sit there and you go, okay, well, they've got to be better than me, they're smarter than me, or they're faster than me. But, you know, if you're really truly knowledgeable, you have to remember that. You can't question yourself. You just can't, because I think that puts that self-doubt in your mind. And self-doubt is a hard thing to deal with. And at the very beginning of the show, Bill, we were talking back in like segment one or two about how you said, you know, the whole thing about self-doubt is that you can go either way sometimes.
Yeah.
You can believe in yourself one minute, and you can, you know, you can go, gosh, what am I doing?
You know, sometimes
one?
In the same day. Yeah.
In the same minute, the same hour.
Yeah.
And it's easy that way because I think things are coming at us so fast nowadays, and the world's traveling so fast, and we're going through all these experiences. And I don't think that the media really helps sometimes too, because it puts more thoughts in your head and it puts more questions in your mind, you know, and negativity and that kind of stuff can also make you question too. Do I have what it takes? Am I good enough to do this? And I think that's important. You know, I think that's something to stand up for. So the third secret, you stand in your own way. And I think a lot of times we all stand in our own way, right? I mean, when was the last time that you tried to do something that you didn't get in your own way, that you didn't put the roadblock up? Because I do it all the time. I don't know about y'all, but I do it.
I do it every single day.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't help but get in my own way.
I know. Sometimes it just becomes second nature, right?
Yeah, it does, you know, because I'm doing one thing and then I stop and I, well, wait, what was I doing? Why was I doing that?
What? Why am I doing this and what's going on? And is right. this really going to happen? And is this worth doing?
Right.
And then you find something else to do or someone else gets you off target too. And you, okay, I'll do that. You right. know, you need me to do that. I'll go do that. And I think you kind of sit there and you go, well, was I doing something that was of value anyway? Or is it just in my own head that this is going to be something?
Yeah, I think there's kind of like you're saying, that self-doubt about whether or not you can actually, you know, do it. I think in my case, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and which can be a roadblock because a lot of times, well, you know, if I'm going to take the energy to do something, I'm going to do it right. And if I can't do it right, well, then it's hard to motivate myself to actually do it.
And I'm guilty of the same thing.
Yeah. You know, we radio people have that as kind of, you know, a personality, you know, trait. You have to be a perfectionist in this business.
It's true. And I think a lot of us are perfectionists. And I think when we stand in our own way, that's the funniest thing. It's almost like having a fight with yourself. If you think about it, you know, let's say like you're at a bar and there's a fight that breaks out and you got like people that are like hitting other people and all this stuff's going on. Well, it's really hard to fight like the bar, the crowd, when you're fighting yourself too. When you're punching yourself on the side, and you're punching yourself like in the right side of your head and you got someone else punching you too, you can kind of think about that in life. You don't have to be in a bar fight to experience this. This could be a daily process for you every time you go to work. You can actually have somebody arguing with you and the politics of work and the politics of this and the family issues and all these struggles going on that's kind of giving you the left hook. And then there you are with your right fist just hitting yourself in the head at the same time because you're like, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be anything. This is just a waste of my time. This isn't going to happen for me. I just need to really put myself in my place. I need to check myself. I need to get in the right lane. I'm in the left lane right now. I'm cruising by too fast. I need to slow down. I really need to think about things. And I've done it before where I sit there and go, my gosh, this is awful. You know, I just need to really check myself because there's no way this is going to happen. But, and then I realize all of a sudden, why not? Why not me? Why not? I do all the work. I put in all, I have the knowledge. I have the ability. I can do it. And I think that's where everybody else is coming from, is that sometimes you think everybody else can do it, but they can't. And you're the only one that stands in your own way. And when you stand in your own way, it's the hardest to get around because you know yourself back and forth. You know yourself better than anybody else. So you can definitely push your buttons. So in Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, when we return, I'm going to give you some more secrets on how to be aware of those roadblocks you create. So this is really important. So you're going to want to hear this. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. Yeah, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing the importance of dedication and determination and how possessing that internal personal belief is paramount to your success, having a happy life, a happy soul, and personal success. You know, we've been talking about some secret techniques that you can use to create lasting results, to actually really believe in yourself. And I think those are anchor. Those are intelligent because you have to have those to have that belief, to believe, to understand who you are. And only you know who you are. We talked about this. Only you know you. No one else knows what's in your mind. So when you're talking to somebody, talk to them with the rationalization that, hey, I know what I'm talking about. I know who I am. And act accordingly. You know, also, we're the hardest on ourselves. Everybody is the hardest on themselves. You take a look in the mirror and you just like, you know, why can't I look like this? Or why can't I be like that? And you have to stop doing that. You just have to be your best critic, not your worst critic. And I think that we're raised that way because we're raised as perfectionists. A lot of us are. We're raised in environments where you feel, I have to be better. I have to be the best. I have to prove to mom and dad that I'm a good kid. I got to prove myself in school. I got to be the fastest. I got to be the smartest. And if you fall from that, if you're not the fastest, you're not the smartest, all of a sudden you start thinking, well, I'm not worth it. I obviously can't do anything right. And that's when that slippery slope happens. And sometimes you have to realize you have to find your purpose. And a lot of times your purpose and what you're great at might not be running that mile at 6 minutes. It might not be running a 5.5 minute mile like people do that run marathons all the time. You might want to do that as a hobby. That might not be your career, your purpose, your passion. You know, your purpose and passion could be teaching students. Your purpose and passion could be writing the next novel. Or your purpose and passion could be helping people, you know, all kinds of things. You could be working for Greenpeace. You never know what it is. But once you find that, you're going to do it better than anybody else. You're going to do it better than anybody else. But you have to believe that you have the ability to have a strength, to have a talent that could be better than anybody else. Because a lot of times we just try to fit in, right? I know that last week we talked a lot about when we were younger, you just wanted to fit in. You wanted to be like everybody else. You just wish when you're in like middle school, elementary school, high school, please don't let me stand out in a crowd. Please don't let me be different. And I think like when I was a kid, I wanted to change my voice. I never wanted my voice to be like this. I always wanted a really high-pitched voice so I sounded like a cheerleader or a valley girl or something really cute. But I didn't get that. And I got my voice. And now I'm actually using that in my career. But that's something that made me stand apart. And that's something that I had to believe in myself and realize I'm not like everybody else. It's something that's different for me. And try to figure out where does that kind of captivate within my purpose in life? Where do I stand with that? You know, lastly, on the concept of realizing those ideas was to stand on your own, to be on your own, to move out of your way. And I think Dano, Billy, and Skinny were talking about the fact that you have to sometimes, you know, realize, you know, you're fighting yourself. And a lot of times we're in that fight. You're in that bar fight, that you know, mythical bar fight in your head where you got people punching at you and you're punching yourself. And you're not going to do very well. You're not going to survive. Okay, you're not going to survive. The stress and strain is going to break you because you're not going to be good enough. You're just not, because you can't fight yourself and fight someone else. You can't fight society and deal with all the woes, money issues, family issues, struggles, anything going on, and be fighting yourself thinking you're not worth it. You're not good enough. So, well, how do we really recognize these roadblocks? And I think this is kind of a big deal. How do you recognize that I'm putting my own roadblock in my own way, and it's not my family, and it's not my surroundings, and it's not my environment, and it's not my wife, and it's not my kids, and it's not my husband? I think the first thing is procrastination, right? Procrastination. I think when you start procrastinating, there's a reason behind that, and that's to slow you down.
Oh, and I'm the world champion procrastinator. I will save everything to the last minute.
Oh, you're like that, huh?
Yes, and it drives me crazy because I know in my head I'm doing it.
So you know you're doing it.
Yeah.
But you still do it.
But I still do it.
I still procrastinate sometimes, too.
I try to knock it out as quick as possible.
Well, that's why, see, and I do, too, because I know that if I don't, then it may never even get done.
I set reminders all day long. I mean, literally my phone's going off 20 times a day, reminder, 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 and I'm like, okay, check, check, check.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. When it comes to that, when you do the check, is there any times that you kind of feel like, oh, I don't really want to do that right now? How do you muscle through that? You just do it?
No, I hit an 8 minute snooze and then come back to it.
And you just say, I'm going to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fight through it.
I'd rather just go ahead and be proactive rather than reactive during the day. I try to, you know, just continually stay on top of what I need to. And, you know, sometimes I fall a little behind or whatnot. Then I'll come in a little early the next day. But, yeah, I'm all about the reminders.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. I mean, the reminders are good. I don't have a lot of post-it notes or reminders. And sometimes it takes me a little bit to try to get onto that level of, okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll wait. They probably won't answer. This won't happen. Or it's just not going to work. And I do have to get over that. And sometimes I am my worst enemy at that. And I think that's a human condition to procrastinate, right? That's human.
It is, but I'm exactly like you, Skinny. I try to get everything done right away. I don't like to procrastinate. If there's stuff that I have to do throughout the day, I'd just rather get it done and then have the rest of the day to do whatever.
Yeah, there's not that thing. But are you like me? You know that if you don't get it done, then it probably won't.
Yeah.
Hey, now you're siding with them. You're siding with them. No, we're the procrastinators, and they're the non-procrastinators. No, the whole room is divided.
I know.
The studio's divided. Procrastinators are here on this side, non-procrastinators. No, I agree with you, though. The procrastination is kind of the biggest of evils, because it's not the thing that you actually say that you're taking yourself out like with a dart or a gun. It's not like you're like shooting yourself down, but it is something getting in your way. So, you know, procrastination is something that, you know, we all do. But I think the second knowledgeable aspect of the concept that you are obviously putting up roadblocks for yourself is that everything becomes before what you want to do. Everything comes before your dreams. And I kind of like to say that's the martyrism. That's the human martyrism, where we're like, oh, well, if you need me, then I will do that. And instead of doing what I want to do, I will take care of this or that or do whatever. I will do the dishes. I will do the laundry. I will do this. I will take the kids on carpool. Whatever it is comes before me, because what I have going on is not that important. And I think that's a good sign that you're definitely, definitely creating roadblocks, because you're saying not only are you creating a roadblock, but you're actually, you know, falsifying the fact that it's not really you, but it's all these other people that are creating this for you. And because of these other people's needs in life, that you can't live your own life. And so then later on down the road, you are going to resent these people more than anything, because you're going to see them as the roadblocks, even though you created your own roadblock and you made them the patsy. I mean, you know, they're like at the grassy knoll over there. You're over there like, you did this. And they're like, I didn't do it. It came from the book depository. It wasn't me. You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. I know you did it. But in actuality, it's you setting up your own problems, because you put it in theirs. You put it in your wife or your husband or your kids or your boss. And all that stuff is martyrism, I think. And I think we've all been a victim of that. And I think we've all done it to ourselves.
And I know people who actually, they want to be a martyr, a self-martyr.
Yeah, exactly. They love it. They love that. That's their thing. That's their daily routine.
Don't y'all know people who are like that?
Oh, yeah.
Met a couple.
Yeah.
A few. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I know a lot of them. Especially mothers a lot of times, too. Nothing against mothers listening tonight, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of times you sit there later on after the kids have grown up and they're 18 and you go, where did my life go? You know, I was too busy taking Junior to practices and this and that and doing the carpool, when in actuality, there were other people that offered to do it. There were other people that offered to take some of that time, but she chose not to. And it's like, sometimes you have to sit there and say, okay, wait a second. Is this an obligation or responsibility, or is there another option? And I'm just putting myself on the back burner because I'm scared to see what's going to happen next. I'm scared to see, is there something out there for me? I'm scared to wonder, you know, I don't really know if I want to see that. I think that's why a lot of people do martyrism, because it makes it easier for them. They feel like they're also contributing it somehow.
And they have the control kind of that thing.
Yeah, they control it too.
Very.
And it's not them. It's not them. So it's always a moving target. And lastly, you know, when no one else is fighting you, right? When no one else is fighting you and no one else is giving you grief, what are you waiting for?
It's like at some point you got to decide. And decide to, you know, get going with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if nobody's fighting you and nobody's arguing and nobody's standing up to you and nobody's saying you can't do it. And there's a lot of people listening tonight that your spouses or whoever have said, hey, why don't you go back to school? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And you say, no, I'm not going to do this. Think about some of these things. Think about some of these responses you're giving, because a lot of times no one's fighting you. Everybody wants to see you do well. They want to see you happy. They want to see you fulfill what you think you need to do. And so recognize that and realize that other people would like to see you happy too. Don't take that joy away from them. Okay, when other people aren't fighting, then why are you still standing there? Why are you waiting? What are you waiting on? So I think we have a great show, and I think next week we'll even have a wonderful show as well that'll talk about some more issues that'll really get to you. So stay tuned, because the Perspectives Gang, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, will be back in, I guess we'll be back in three shakes.